En 'n hartlike goeie môre en welkom by ons program Skriftuurlik, waar ons weekliks saam na oplossings soek uit die skrifte vir vrae waarmee gewone mense sukkel. Die Bybel sê in Johannes 17:17, U woord is waarheid, heilig hulle na U woord. En Psalm 119:105 sê, U woord is 'n lamp vir my voete en 'n lig vir my pad. Kom dan saam met ons vir die volgende uur, wanneer ons geen steen onaangeraak laat om die waarheid te vind en lig te skyn op die vrae uit die skrifte waarmee ek en jy moontlik kan worstel nie. Kry dus gou jou Bybel en kom ondersoek saam met ons die skrifte. Dis mos nou skriftuurlik.
Real Radio for real people serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
That's where you tune to, radiopulpit.co.za, and allow us to say all of the best for 2025. God willing, may the good Lord bless you and keep you and shine His face upon you. Also to my brother in Christ, Rocky Stevenson, Benoni Bible Church. And you know what he said to me this morning when he walked into my office, just between you and me, don't tell anybody, but he said, my, this, you know, time just flies, huh? Can you believe? Oh, right. He's in on the conversation. Good morning, Rocky. How are you keeping?
Morning, Benant. Very well, thank you. It's so good to be here. And welcome to all of our listeners. It's great to be back on live with you on Skriftuurlik. And what a joy.
Yeah, more than a joy. You can meet the man face to face with the beautiful voice. He's in studio and we're live streaming on the YouTube channel at the moment. Also on Facebook, live streaming. So you can meet Rocky face to face. Just hop on there. And if you want to take part in the program, there's a very special way that you can do so. Grab a pen and paper. I'm going to give you a WhatsApp number. Rocky, this is our third year. Where are we now? I've lost count of it.
Yeah, I think this is going into the third year.
The third year now that you and I are doing Skriftuurlik.
Yeah.
Before it was Matt Viljoen and various others. But by God's grace, you going for your third year, the perfect number, number three. And thank you so much. Such a privilege. Thank you also for Let's Talk in the Mornings. Quite a good feedback we get on Let's Talk. Don't forget, you can catch Rocky 8:15 in the morning, Mondays to Fridays. Mondays, I think he calls Memorable Mondays, Theological Tuesdays, Wisdom Wednesdays, and then Theology Tuesdays, or is it Technical Tuesdays?
Technical Thursdays. There we go.
You mixed it up
all together. I knew you'd remember.
And then Fabulous Fridays, he calls it fantastic. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, just call it and stay tuned. So catch it also on podcast, and that's on our website. Enough said and done about that. Here's the number. If you want to take part in Skriftuurlik this morning, the program where we tackle your questions live. Satan's agenda has ever, from the Garden of Eden to where we are now, it's always been to just slap a question mark on what the Lord says. That's how the forces of darkness operate. And maybe somebody said something somewhere, somehow, that questions make you question God's word, or you're not sure about this, or you have questions about that. You're welcome to contact us in this program, post your questions on WhatsApp, send it through to the studio, and we'll search God's words. If you're just listening to us this morning, please pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal unto us the scriptures supernaturally, that we not share man's opinion, our thoughts, but the word of the living God. I'm so thankful for John 17:17. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by your word. And so I pray that the Lord will sanctify you and I and each and every one listening to this program this morning as we work through Skriftuurlik. Right, here's the number, 082. Have you got that? Vodacom number, 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729. And that's the number. If you possibly can, just add the scriptures. It makes life just a little bit easier for Rocky here in studio. And as I said, you can catch him on the YouTube channel, Radio Pulpit's YouTube channel, and Facebook Live. Now, receive the beautiful question. It says, I'm an Afrikaans boykie from Bloemfontein. I never miss an episode of Skriftuurlik. And listen at work on my headsets. Wonderful. Bless your heart. It says, a question that came up at my church recently is one relating to angels. the Trinity being the only sinless, and as he put it, a person in all of creation. Would it then mean that the angels are sinners, or are they not? Because they're already in heaven. Thank you for an awesome program. What a question to kick off 2025. And you've got all the books, you've got all the Bibles, all the laptops, all surrounded there. Trust that the Lord will help you with this one. Pastor Rocky, over to you.
Yeah, Johan, thank you so much for that. And thank you for your kind wishes as well. And that's just as a reminder, this question came through on email to pastor@benonibiblechurch.co.za, which is another way that you could send in questions. Maybe you have a question come to mind a little bit late in the program, or maybe you're busy driving, you're unable to kind of send that through, then we're able to also deal with that in scriptielik when you've sent it through on email. So thank you, Johan, and thank you for your kind wishes to Wynand and myself for the new year as well. And so also a happy new year to you and your family. But it's such a joy also to hear how Scriptielik is an encouragement to you there in Bloemfontein. I've got one of my best friends out there, Tsolofelo Kukuni, who's, I believe, Wynand, you've interviewed him before,
yes,
on a Monday as well.
Yes, very much. What a wonderful brother in Christ.
A pastor of Free State Bible Church out in Bloemfontein. So what a joy, even as you listen on your headset. So hopefully we won't make any sneezing noises, you know, by a donkey or something like that. But to clarify, the Bible does teach that angels are created beings. We're told that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. So this is where they are distinct from the triunity. I prefer even the name triunity of God, even from Trinity, even though I know the Trinity is the word that is often used. And so they are uncreated, or rather the Trinity or the triunity is uncreated as well as eternal. Our God is thrice holy, 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 holy. Is he. And so the angels are created beings, and that's part of what makes them different from what God is. And when we think about sinlessness, it's crucial to understand that angels exist in two different categories. There's two different kinds of angels after the fall of Satan, or as he was known, Lucifer. He used to be that chief cherub. He would be the one that would deliver the praises of the other angels to God. Yet he was not satisfied in his position, and a third of heaven's angels fell in his rebellion. So you have these two categories of angels. You have holy angels, and these are the angels who remain faithful to God, and they have not sinned. They have never sinned, and they remain holy angels because of this. And they are referred to in 1 Peter 5, verse 21, as the elect angels. These two-thirds of heaven's angels that have never, ever sinned, and that remain holy before God.
I wanted to ask you, you said something profound. You said, and two-thirds of the angel followed Satan.
One-third.
My apologies, yeah. One-third. Question is, was it something in their making, in their makeup, or was it simply Satan deceiving them and leading them astray?
Yeah, the book of Ezekiel tells us that pride was found in the heart of Satan.
Yeah.
And so pride was there before he acted in his rebellion. So we don't have a huge amount of information. In fact, the Bible speaks very little about demons. Even when I studied this at seminary, we got a little book that was on demonology, and it really was a very small book which had all of the references regarding angels and demons. And so we're not told a huge amount, but I would believe that it would be very similar to that, that just like pride was found inside of Satan, there would have been that same kind of pride that was found inside of these a third of heaven's angels. And they then aren't the elect angels. The elect angels are those that never strayed from their position of serving God. In other words, they did not rebel. But those that are non-elect angels now have shown themselves to be non-elect because of their rebellion. It's almost backwards when it comes to human beings, because you show yourself elect, or you show yourself to be a chosen one in Christ when you believe, because there has already been rebellion by Adam and Eve. Yeah. So now you show yourself to be elect or part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church, when you are those that receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. But with these angels, they reject rejected Christ, his program and his person, and they rejected God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they followed after Satan, believing his lies. So indeed, they were deceived by Satan, but there must have been something in them that allowed them to do that. Yeah. Not that they were evil at all, and God is not the inventor of evil. These are concepts that are far beyond us, and even James chapter 1 verse 13 even would speak about this, because people say, well, why does God tempt? Well, God never tempts, and he is never tempted. He is always holy.
But they were free to choose, and so we are free to choose.
That's it. And people sometimes wonder about this, and they say, well, why would God actually make it that you're able to choose? And look at how wicked this world is. Why did God allow it to become like that? Well, God doesn't lock you up and make you to love him. He lets you choose whether you will love him or not love him. He has put himself
That's
on
real
display.
Love, isn't it?
And part of that is that you now become part of the elect and part of those that are the chosen by your belief in what Christ has done, in your receiving of him. So there's these elect angels that we see in 1 Timothy 5 verse 21 speaks about them. They are chosen by God to remain in righteousness because of the fact that they themselves did not rebel and follow after Satan. And while they are in heaven and as they serve perfectly God and they are his messengers and his messaging spirits, of course they can get interfered with, and we see that with Michael when he was sent to Israel's aid, and actually you see that in Daniel, and you find that the prince of Persia, this demonic force, stood between him and the devil fights with Michael the archangel, and he's delayed in his job. So they perfectly serve God. That doesn't mean that they are not attacked even, and that there's not the spiritual battle that is busy going on in the heavenlies, but their sinlessness is not the same as God's kind of a sinlessness, in the sense that their sinlessness is as a result of who God is, and it's dependent upon who God is. Their holiness is holy because of who God is, and the holiness with which they serve the Lord in that sense. So unlike the triunity of God, their sinlessness is not inherent. So we talk about inherent sinlessness. That's God's sinlessness. Theirs is a inherited sinlessness because they've been created by God to be in that kind of a position, and they are upheld in that sinlessness by God's grace. Then we have the fallen angels, and those are the angels who followed after Lucifer in his rebellion against God. And Revelation 12 verse 4 gives it in a picturesque way, this idea of the third of the heaven's angels. It says this, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And that gives this picturesque form of what had happened with the third of heaven's angels in that sense. Ezekiel also touches a little bit on this. But they are referred to as demons within the scriptures.
Wow.
And they are certainly sinners. They are sinners, not to the same extent, or not to the... they're not the same as human beings in their sinfulness, because we inherited sinfulness from Adam and Eve. And we see this in Romans chapter 5. We were born in that. And even the psalmist in Psalm 51 says, in sin, my mother conceived me. We were born in that type of a sinful state. And yet later on, we choose to sin. And so there's an inherited sinfulness that we have because of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Whereas these angels inherited holiness, but they rejected holiness.
Wow.
And so they are sinners in almost a different level to that sense as what we are. And we find this about these ones, and they were in rebellion against God, and their eternal fate is actually sealed by God. And this is one of the reasons that the demons were so petrified of Jesus. Even as they saw him coming, they would scream out and say, they know exactly who he is. And Jesus would stop them and say, stop, nope, you're not going to talk. Yeah. I'm not going to let you, such a foul in thing, actually say even true things about me, because that's how defiled you are. That's how sinful these creatures are. It's because even the true things that they say, Jesus says, I don't want you to say it. Imagine that. That's how sinful they
the
are
scripture
and how vile
says,
they are.
The scripture says they know who God is,
exactly,
and they shudder with fear.
Yeah, that's James, and James makes that point. He says, now you can't come and say that you have faith when you don't have works. Yeah. Your faith must have good works, and you must have a tree that bears that fruit. You can't say, I'm just a Christian with your lips, and serve God with lip service while your hearts are far from him. No, you need to actually bear fruit, and that's part of the point of the sinfulness of these creatures. They can even say truthful things, and they do, because deceit has so much of truth mixed in with a little bit of error. And this is what Jesus says to them in Matthew 25:41. He says, then he will also say to those on his left, because he's speaking about the sheep and the goats and the way that he splits these groups, and he says, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So this eternal fire, the lake of fire, which at the moment has no occupants right now, that lake of fire, one day in judgment, those that have decided to reject the Christ and have not received Jesus, they will be cast into the place that actually was not prepared initially for them. It is a place that has been prepared for the devil and his fallen angels.
And the Bible says a place so horrid it takes your breath away.
Yes, and there's a creature that's eternal, and that's the worm. My wife really doesn't like worms, and she said, there's a reason I don't like worms,
well,
because the worm doesn't die right there.
Well, after your quotation of that scripture, I will never look at a falling star the same again, you know?
So the Bible doesn't indicate that holy angels will fall into sin. And so that's where I would correct the question a little bit. But they are different from God's holiness in the sense that they've inherited that. They weren't just that they weren't inherently sinless in that sense. They have that dependent upon the holiness of God. But they are fully aligned with God's will, at least the two-thirds of heaven's angels. However, their holiness is derivative. It comes from God and it is sustained by God in them, not from their own nature. They are holy because of God's nature and the fact that God is the one that has created them and God is the one that has made them his messaging angels. And it's wonderful how they are messengers to those that would be saved. It's marvelous to think about the ways in which even before you became a Christian, how God was ministering to you by angels without you even knowing it, because they are his ministering spirits towards those that would be saved. And that's a marvelous concept which is beyond our ability to even think through it. I can think of many times where I could have even been dead, and yet God in his mercy had kept me. Mm-hmm. And there you wonder what type of forces behind the scenes that we just don't see.
And Rocky, they're not like we see in the books and the fairy tales and the Googles and all that. They're not these glowing beings with huge wings. They appear like normal human beings. You wouldn't even know if you entertained an angel or not.
Yeah, well, the New Testament actually encourages us towards hospitality, and that actual word means the love of strangers.
Yeah.
And the New Testament church was encouraged towards that, because remember that they were much persecuted. So they were being encouraged to open their homes toward traveling Christians that were looking for new places to live. And the Bible says, well, you don't know if you're actually entertaining an angel without knowing it.
You spoke about it in Let's Talk this morning about hospitality and entertaining strangers.
What an important concept that is for us. And we've sadly almost left that out. We've almost programized everything in Christianity, sadly, where we think that our fellowship time is only the tea and coffee and Cook Sisters, which I love Cook Sisters. I think we should do lots of Cook Sisters. But we tend to think that that's our only fellowship time. Yeah. No, we should be opening our homes and our hearts towards one another in that sense. So yes, that's to give a bit of an answer. And so to directly answer the question, not all angels are sinners. There's a third of heaven's angels that are, two-thirds, as far as what the scriptures tell us, are still those elect angels that have not sinned against God, that have remained in their rightful position, that have not gone against him. And even amongst the demons, it's an interesting categorization, because there's some that are already in gloomy chains of darkness because of what they did during the time of the flood. And that some of them will be even loosed during the time of the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation, Jacob's trouble. And we have some of those picturesque scenes within the scriptures, but not all of the angels are sinners, yet they are inheriting this holiness from God. It's not of their own, but fallen angels, they are sinners. They've chosen rebellion against God. So thank you again, Johan, for that question.
Johan, bless your heart. Thank you so much. And if you want to follow us live on YouTube at the moment, Radio Pulpit's YouTube channel, you can follow Pastor Rocky live there. And also, in studio on Facebook, you can meet the man face to face. The WhatsApp number, if you want to send in your question, 082-657-2729. We've literally got another 20 minutes left in this program. Time is just absolutely flying. Continuing with the questions, is it really important for me to be part of a local church? I hear you talk often about this. Isn't it fine if I just listen to Radio Pulpit and that becomes my church? What do we say to the listener who asks a question? And there's many a man that says, well, what about people who are ill in bed at home, paralyzed, paraplegics? What do they do? What do we answer somebody with? Is it the motive of the heart? What does the scripture say?
Yeah, thank you for that question. And, you know, we do, even at Benoni Bible Church, we have this section within our constitution and our statement of faith that talks about the responsibilities and the privileges of membership within a local church. And part of what we touch on there as well talks about how we should be committed towards the regular assembly together of the saints. In other words, being part of the Lord's Day worship of the Lord. And there's a section that says they're unless providentially hindered. And that gives a sense of scope within at least this, at least our local church. And I believe that that is a biblical kind of a scope. Sometimes you are providentially hindered from the assembled worship of God because you are at home paralyzed, or because you've had some accident, or because you're so sick, or because you've been somehow waylaid, you had an accident, or something has happened. We see that as still part of God's providence, because our God is not just the God of the sunshine, He's also the God of the storm and the rain. Mm-hmm. You know, there's seasons that you sometimes face even in your life. That doesn't excuse our laziness. We can't say, well, I'm providentially hindered just because I'm so tired, you know, or just because I just didn't feel like going out. And I've found it quite strange how some people will be able to go to the shops in the week, they'll be able to go to work in the week, they'll be able to do all of these things, but when Sunday comes, oh no, I can't I can't have a commitment towards the Lord then. I've heard a numerous amount of excuses. And if you want to make an excuse, you'll always make an excuse. I think that's beyond the point. But I think this is a thoughtful question. It's one that does come up often. And when it comes to even listening to Skriftelik and listening to Wynand and I as we speak here, this is not church. This is something that comes alongside local church. Even what I do with Let's Talk every morning on radio, as we spoke about it earlier, that's a means of discipleship and it's a means of teaching. And I'm able to pour out much toward the listeners regarding God's word. And it's a wonderful means to be able to disciple, but it is not church. It comes alongside local church. There may be a local church pastor that says, hey, here's a wonderful means for my flock to be discipled. Go listen to the podcasts of Rocky at Radio Pulpit. But I'm not Pastor Rocky of Radio Pulpit. I'm Rocky at Radio Pulpit. I'm pastor of Benoni Bible Church. That's where the local church is so critical and so important. And I want to emphasize that Radio Pulpit, as wonderful as it is, and here we are, what a joy. It's great to be back. It's wonderful for me to be able to see Wynand on the other side of the glass and see behind him the words in big, bold, Radio Pulpit. What a joy it is to be a part of this and to have this ministry that is going out on the airways and many people that are listening, as far as I believe you were telling me, Kilimanjaro and Australia, and there's South Africans that are listening in Europe, and we bless God for this reality. But this cannot and should not and must not replace the assembling together of believers in person in local churches. There's no such thing even as virtual church. That is just an oxymoron, because it goes against even the concept of what ecclesia is. Ecclesia is the assembling together,
the fellowship
of the saints together. So there's a couple of reasons that this is based upon the scriptures of what I'm saying to you, and that is obedience to Jesus' commands. When we get saved, when we are born again, then we are no longer our own boss. We come under a new Lord, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has commanded us. And so therefore, I need to be somebody who says yes to Jesus and no to my flesh. I need to be somebody that denies myself, that takes up my cross and will follow Jesus. And the Bible commands us to not neglect the gathering together, the assembling together of the saints. Listen to this. It says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's Hebrews 10 verse 25. I think it's important that it says they're encouraging one another, because sometimes our own commitments can wane. We need to encourage one another, come alongside one another. There's a mutual kind of an accountability that we have within a local church towards one another. And we should say, hey, as the day draws near, and isn't it marvelous? I was talking to Wynand just before coming in this morning, and I saw something regarding some growth within Sodom. And there's an amazing plant that has started to grow within the caves of Sodom. And what's amazing about this is that whole area has been destroyed by sulfur almost 3,000 years ago by God, when he rained sulfur from the heavens upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's been no life there. There's been no life at all, because it's
literally
so salty.
One of the lowest places on the face of
yes.
the planet.
And I mean, it's such an interesting place, but yeah. they've gone into these caves, and one of these men that often visits this place, and he goes through, and you have to sometimes crawl on your belly to get into some of these caves in Sodom. He's found these little plants that are now growing, and scientists have gone in there. They can't find the root, but they've cut off a little piece of it, and they've sent it off to testing. And this is happening in our day, that we've seen stuff like this that is happening. God is fulfilling what his word says. And this is then, it draws us back to the fact that we need to be those that are doing what God has said in his word. It's important for us, and the day is drawing near. God has given us prophecies about the fact that there will be life again at Sodom. And yet we see, even in our time, 2025, well, I think this discovery was made just toward the end of 2024, that there's new life, that people are still wondering, what are these plants? At the Dead Sea, you were telling me about the fish that they found at the Dead Sea. There's life that is starting to come to places that the Bible says there will be life again, yet for 3,000 years, that place has been absolutely no life, and God is busy bringing life. The day is drawing near, so therefore we ought to encourage one another. And so let even this be an encouragement to you. If you're not part of a local church that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, well, get part of one. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 speaks about how Jesus is the one who established the church, and it is his body on this earth. This is what Ephesians 1, 22 to 23 says. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The local church is that picture of Jesus' universal body that you now become a part of. It's obeying Jesus who calls you to be a part of that. But there's also all of the one another commands within the New Testament. And if you go do a study of all the one another commands, it's in the context of the local church that you live out those commands. If you are to reject the local church, then you must reject most of the New Testament. Why? Because the New Testament was written to local churches. Go look at all of the epistles, as we call them. It was written to local churches of believers that assembled in a specific place to serve the Lord Jesus. So all of these one another commands, as an example, love one another, John 13, 34. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6, verse 2. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Forgive one another, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Serve one another, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Where do we do this? We do this within the context of the local church as we practice these one another's. But then also, part of what happens at local church is it actually addresses the hypocrisy in ourselves. And this is one of the things I've heard a lot. I'm not sure if you've heard it, Vaynant, where people say, well, you know, the church is just so full of hypocrites.
Yeah,
I don't want to be there.
Plenty of times.
It's almost easier to just listen to the radio than what it is to go to church and to think and to almost deceive yourself into thinking, well, this is now my church. This is now my steeple. These are my people, in a sense. But rejecting God's people. But some avoid church because of that. They think that Christianity is just a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of judgmental people. But Jesus says you need to address the log that's in your own eye before you start to try and take out the speck of your brothers.
It is deception, after all. It's excuses that we use.
For sure.
Which makes us, by default, makes us hypocrites ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah. And Matthew 7, 3 to 5 says, and why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?
Wow.
Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What's interesting about a passage like this is that you actually are to take the speck out of your brother's eye. But first you need to take the log out of your own. Have you ever had a speck in your eye? You don't want a speck in your eye. I mean, I was cutting the grass even the other day, and you get this little thing in your eye.
Yeah.
Now you need your wife to come and take the speck out. But how's she going to take that out if she's got a log in her eye?
Yeah.
So you want the speck out. A speck is tremendously irritating in the eye. So it's not saying don't take the speck out, but there's a context within which you are to do that. A church is not a gathering or an assembling together of perfect people. We need to realize that. And you're not a perfect person. It's a community of forgiven sinners. that are being sanctified. And so part of being in a local church is actually learning patience. It's learning forgiveness. It's learning to have grace towards one another, just as Christ has shown us grace. And as one of my favorite sayings to people that say that there's just so many hypocrites in church, well, I say, well, there's enough space for another big one.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I told him, you know, we've got a few chairs open. You can even take up two chairs with all of that. So church is critically important according to God's program within the New Testament. It's the place with which He works. I'm a part of Radio Pulpit. What a joy. I'm a part of Biblical Ministries Worldwide as a missions organization. What a joy. But none of that replaces the local church. All of that must always be subservient to God's program in this age, which is the local church. And these things then come alongside. It's in the coming alongside the local church that these ministries actually find true, let's say, true purpose in that sense. But then also the blessing of spiritual oversight. And I think this is a sad reality in our day, Wynand, is that many people don't want to have pastors. They don't want to have elders over them. It's easier to have tele pastors or radio pastors. It's easy to, in a sense, feel like you like me when I'm on radio, but you might not like me when you're in person at the only Bible church. You know, and it's almost that sense of this disconnected social media type of a world.
Mm. There's also people who says, well, I don't want that because I've been heard terribly by the church.
Mm.
That use that as an excuse.
For sure. And indeed, that doesn't take away some of the hurt that has been real and the sadness of that reality, that there is a lot of hurt with regard to this. But there is also the need at times for us to grow past the bitterness, to be able to be those that forgive, that learn patience, that learn love, and also for us to learn that we ourselves may have been part of hurting others too. And so what have we done to others as well, and what have we been forgiven about? And it's in view of the mercy of God, and that's what I love about Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about the way that we are to be these sacrifices that are living, holy, and pleasing to God, and our lives are given up in that way. But it's in the view of God's great mercy. When we forget God's great mercy, we will allow ourselves to think, in a sense, that we're better than our brothers and sisters around us. But it's when we remember the great debt that God has forgiven us, and the fact that we had such a massive debt that we could never afford to pay. Because remember the parable that Jesus even tells about the man that was forgiven such a large debt by the king. And he goes out and he finds his brother who owes him a week's wages, and he strangles him. He says, you better pay me. And he throws him into prison. And one of the fellow servants goes to the king and says, you know what that servant that you forgave so much did? Look at what he did with his fellow servant. And that enraged the king. And I think some people are living in such a way that will enrage God regarding the mercy that he has shown towards them, because they look at their brothers and sisters and it's too easy an excuse. Well, look, I've been hurt. I've been hurt at church. Well, have you not hurt others as well? Are you not needing to be dealt with as well? It's in the context of the local church that you actually live out all of these one another's. But I want you to also challenge yourself and look at your own home. What is happening with your own wife, or what is happening with your own husband? What is happening with your own children? Recognize that you must come underneath the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in your home and in your life and in your local church. And there's a blessing when it comes to those to being under spiritual oversight and having a local church. And there's a reason why God has made local churches. There's some really gifted preachers that are out there. I mean, one of them that I think is one of the most gifted in our days, a man like John MacArthur, out in the States, which we should really be praying for Los Angeles with their fires that they've been having. And that's where his church is in Los Angeles, Grace Fellowship there. And so we could think about them and pray for them even at this time, because there's been some massive damage. I heard yesterday that the damage in that area is almost the same size as far as area as Paris in France that has been burned down and obliterated. What a travesty that we've seen, almost a modern view of what maybe something like Sodom and Gomorrah looked like, except that by God's mercy, many have been evacuated. Can you imagine the devastation if all those families were home when that fire came through? What a picture. If you go look at some of that, it's horrendous.
They call it apocalyptic.
Yes, I mean, it's quite something to look at. But there's something to come underneath a local church with a local pastor, and that's part of God's purpose. His purpose has not been go to the Grace to You site and then listen to all MacArthur sermons, and then that becomes your pastor. Not at all. Not at all. Because you need to have a local shepherd who smells like that local sheep that is going through the same things that they are going through, and there's life-to-life discipleship. Discipleship is the program of God, and discipleship has been waylaid so much in our day. We have made it too programized. We've made it too superficial. We've made it such that actually, it's almost like it's been boiled down to some kind of a Facebook version of Christianity, when we actually need to be with one another. We need to open our homes. We need to be face to face. We need to smell the bad breath if there's bad breath. We need to be able to love one another, even with our differences. And Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they will do this with joy and not with groaning, for this would be unprofitable to you. And 1 Peter 5:2 says, shepherd the flock of God among you. It's important for the flock of God to actually be among you, in other words. So if you call yourself a Christian, you need to be somebody that is with the people of God. A shocking thing has happened to me a few times in ministry. I'll meet a guy and he introduces himself as Pastor so-and-so. And you hear them say that, okay, I'm Pastor so-and-so. Or you say, okay, well, who are you pastoring? No, I'm done with Christians and I do this ministry or that ministry. And you say, but how can you call yourself a shepherd when there's no sheep? And then how can you call yourself a sheep if you're not part of the flock? And so this is the point that I'm making, is that if you're a Christian, you need to be part of a local church. There ought to be this healthy partnership, even in that sense. And here's where it comes in with just as a bottom line for this question. Radio pulpit can be a fantastic supplement to your spiritual growth if it is giving you that which is in line with the scriptures. You must test everything by the scriptures, like we've made it a motto in our Skriftelik program regarding the Bereans. We must study the scriptures to show ourselves approved, as Paul says to Timothy. We must provide it can provide biblical teaching and encouragement, but it is never a substitute to the gathering together of the saints. So that would be my final answer regarding this question.
Right. Thank you so much. Never again can you say, I did not hear, I did not know. Ike, we have not forgotten about you. We have seen you. Time is just totally working against us. We're in the time fabric. Time is running out in many aspects. And thank you so much for your question there. We'll deal with it in a moment. Ikasa says, we have to play some music, and we'd like to adhere to the authorities over us as well. Jonathan Butler, after this, we'll tackle some one or two questions if time permits, but in the meantime, stay with me. We've got some beautiful music lined up for you. Magnify the Lord with us. Magnifying the Lord God in scriptural skriftuurlik vanoggend. En as jy jou vraag wil instuur, 082-657-2729. Is he in South Africa? Is he in the States? I don't know. A song called Magnify the Lord. Wherever you are, in your car, at home, at work. Johan, met die oorfone aan by die werk, nê? Magnifying the Lord. Skriftuurlik, tot en met 12 uur vanmiddag, ons het nog so 'n paar minute oor. En bly gerus ingeskakel as jy jou vraag betyds wil inkry. En wil jy, ons moet dit graag hanteer. 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729. We'll be back right after this. That's where you are, radiopulpit.co.za, 657 AM. As jy jou vraagie wil instuur, 082-657-2729. Baie welkom om dit in te stuur. Ike made a promise to you, and thank you so much for your question. Good morning, Psalm 82:6 apply. Jesus said that too in John 10:34. Rocky, this is, I suppose, where you've got to read those scriptures for us. In what way are we gods? Thank you. Ike posted that question.
Yeah, Ike, thank you for this great question. It will be good for us to read Psalm 82. It's a short psalm. It's only got 8 verses, and then you'll get a bit more of the context of why I will answer it in the way that I will. It says this: God takes his stand in the congregation of God. He judges in the midst of gods. So yeah, he says in verse 1, he's judging in the midst of gods, but what is he talking about with the idea of judging in the midst of gods? And then listen to what it says, and he's in the congregation of God. In other words, these are people that are meant to be worshippers of God. They are his people, and he's now making this judgment amongst these individuals that he calls gods. How long will you judge unrighteously and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. So now you see the function of these individuals that are gods in this section are meant to be those that do not show partiality. They are those that are meant to be judging righteously, and God is the one that's judging them. So this is important. It says this: give justice to the poor and the orphan. Justify the afflicted and destitute. Protect the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know and do not understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men, and you will fall like any one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who will inherit all the nations. And so part of the function of the individual is meant to be in the image of God. We are meant to be doing that which our God does. But the lament of the psalm is actually we're not living in accordance with how God has created us. We're not doing what God had called us to do. So human beings are, in this section, called gods, Elohim, because they are to act as his representatives. They're meant to be those that do what he does. But in the psalm, the lament is, you're not doing what God has done. So therefore, God is the one that judges you for not doing what you're supposed to do. You've been made by him for the purpose of doing his will. And he has said, go and have dominion over the earth, procreate, fill the earth, have dominion in the sense of rule over this. But man has not done what God has called him to do. And it reminds us, even in this context, of the fact that we are mortal, as well as the fact that we are accountable to God. We will be judged before him for the way that we live. And so when Jesus refers to this in John chapter 10, verse 34, he's referring to this because he's been attacked for calling himself the Son of God. Jesus says, this is my position. Your position actually is as God's. Have you done your position? So these individuals are coming to Jesus and they are mocking him in that sense. And they're saying, how dare you say that you are the Son of God? And he says, but your own scriptures say that you are God's. So what is your responsibility and what have you been made to do? And are you doing it? Because he's referring back to the section in Psalm 82. It's a marvelous way in which Jesus actually deals with his opponents, because he says to them, I'm telling you that I'm the Son of God and everything that I do proves it. Because my words are not my words, it's my Father's words. My deeds are not my deeds, they're my Father's deeds. I'm proving to you that I am the Son of God. But you have been called gods in the Scriptures. Are you doing what your responsibility is? So he uses this to defend his claim regarding his unity with the Father. And his point is that if the Scriptures call human beings gods due to their role as those that have been made in the image of God, then how much more fitting for him who is the very essence of God to be now the Son of God. So the consecrated Son of God, he claims divinity and his right to do so, and all of his actions follow that. So in that sense, it's a rebuke from Jesus to those that actually had not lived in accordance with what they'd been created to do. So this doesn't mean that human beings are divine, but it highlights our responsibility, because even there in Psalm 82, you see that each one will die and each one will stand before God. But the point of this is God has made us to rule and reign with him. But are we ruling and reigning with him? No, we've chosen our sin, and therefore we will be judged by him. And so Jesus then uses and he appeals to this to actually point out those that are coming against him. Are you actually doing what you're supposed to be doing? And I've said this a few times from the pulpit, and I've probably said it at radio pulpit, is that we, I believe, are living so often far beneath our potential as those that are meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're meant to be those that's born again individuals that get back to what God had called us to do. As those that have been made in his image. We were made to walk with God. But what do? We sit on the couch. We're made to worship him and to reverence him and to be devoted to him and to do his will in this world. We ought to day by day say like the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But so many people, they think that living is gain and that they must do whatever they want for their own flesh. And we're so fleshly and and that's the point of this. We need to get back to this. And here's the charge for us when we accept what God has actually called us to. It says here, give justice to the poor and to the orphan. Justify the afflicted and destitute. Protect the poor and the needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. This is what we're supposed to be doing. God loves justice and he loves mercy and he loves grace and he loves those things which will give him glory. And many a times we're actually waylaid from this. So this doesn't mean that human beings are divine, but we have a divine task and we've been made by the divine God and we have an eternal soul spirit within us that will answer before God for every deed that is done in the flesh and will answer before God for everything that we didn't do in the flesh. I think that's almost more scary. And some people say, well, I don't understand so much about the Bible. Don't worry about all the stuff you don't understand. What about all the stuff you do understand? And do you do that? Do you do? Will you walk with God? Will you do what God has called you to do? We must reflect the justice and the character of God in the way in which we trust Him in this world. And that is by doing His will. Here I am, Lord, send me and work through me. So that's part of the point of this section in Psalm 82, as well as what Jesus even refers to those that are coming up against Him and His deity.
Bless your heart, my brother. Thank you so much. So Psalms 82 and verse 6. I trust that it makes beautiful sense now. And I've even heard on TV, evangelist that says, you are God's and this and that. You need to search the scriptures. Need to make sure. Read it in context. And then apply the word. No use. It's just idle lip service. Rocky, if somebody wants to contact you and be in touch with you, how do they get hold of you, Benoni Bible Church? What's the email address?
Yeah, you're welcome to send me an email at pastor@benonibiblechurch.co.za. And what a joy it has been to be with all of you this day, and we bless the Lord for this.
Right, Ina, we see you there on WhatsApp. Bless your heart. The recent passing of her beloved husband, and she's just asking for prayer and for encouragement. She says it's very hard and it's scary times that she finds herself in. However, God's word is the word that strengthens her and encourages her. We think of you, and we stand with you in this time of mourning to allow the Lord to heal that hole in your heart. So thank you so much for reaching out to us this morning. That then, Ina. Rocky, time has caught up with us. Time to love and leave you. Thank you so much. What a way to start 2025. Can I ask you, we literally got less than a minute left. Would you just close for us in a prayer, please?
Sure, let's do that. Lord, I thank you for this time that we've been together. I do pray for Ina and her situation. Thank you that she's been listening this morning. We do pray that you, the God of all comfort, would comfort her heart at this time. And we know, Lord, that you are a man that was acquainted with sorrow and with grief. And you were stricken and struck down, and you knew exactly what it was to even weep at the grave of your friend Lazarus, as you saw even the unbelief of many that were around you. So, Lord, we do pray that in her grief that you would be her strength, that she would be one who endures and looks to you to be the one that is the lifter of her head. And we pray, Lord, that you would, in your mercy, provide for her in this time as well. We pray for her family, her children, her grandchildren, if she has grandchildren. Lord, that this would be a special time as she walks near to you. You are the one that is the husband of the soul, and I pray that you would draw near to her. I pray that she would be a godly woman, as we see even in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we see the outlining of a godly widow, and we pray that she would be a godly widow, even in her own local church, and that you would use her much there. We pray for all the listeners this morning. We pray that you would be exalted, Lord, in their lives, that as they start out this year, and we thank you for this time on Skriftelik, our first one for 2025, thank you for your sustaining grace over us over this time, and we do pray that you would be exalted, even in the Skriftelik programs the rest of this year, that you would sustain us, and that you would also draw us near to you. So we thank you, Lord, for each listener. We thank you for this time, and we bless the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Till next time, keep well, God bless you, and shalom.